Thanks for tuning in to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luanne Crane, here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson. And Ryan and Doctor, our plan for today's Family Talk broadcast is just a little different than what listeners are used to.
It is, Luanne. We typically don't air traditional sermons, but Dad, you heard a sermon a few weeks ago that you are very anxious to share with our listeners.
Hmm. I loved this message, Ryan. And it was delivered by the late Dr. Adrian Rogers several years ago when he was the senior pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Rogers was one of the finest men I have ever known. Mm. He was a member of my board of directors and was almost a brother to me. I can't describe the relationship that we had, and he had a great impact on me personally. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of Dr. Rogers' sermons were recorded, and they can now be heard on radio and on television on the program Love Worth Finding. Shirley and I still listen to him regularly, even though he's gone on to be with the Lord. Now, the message that we're going to hear today is on an unpleasant topic. It's on the subject of sin. Mm-hmm. But the Bible is replete with explanations of that subject, of that understanding theologically. And I think all of us need to have a refresher course on what the Bible says about that, including the purpose that Jesus came and died on the cross. It was to provide a remedy for sin. So the message that we're going to hear today was given probably 7-8 years ago, I'm guessing. It was titled then, and we're calling it, The High Cost of Low Living by Dr. Adrian Rogers.
Well, let's get right into it, Doctor. But first, just a little bit more about Dr. Rogers. As you said, he was the pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church for 33 years before he passed away in 2005. He had actually been in ministry since being ordained at the young age of 19. Mm-hmm. He was the author of 18 books, as you said, had his own radio and TV programs, again, called Love Worth Finding Ministries.
Dr. Rogers was survived by his lovely wife, Joyce, and 4 grown children, 9 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. So let's listen to this message now on this Family Talk broadcast.
I want you to find, please, 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is a sad chapter in the Word of God. It's a tragic chapter. It's the story of David's sin with Bathsheba. Can a child of God sin? Yes. Can a child of God sin and not suffer? No. And I want you to pay attention to this scripture. I love David. David is a man that I look forward to meeting in heaven. The Bible called David a man after God's own heart. King David, poet, sweet singer of Israel, mighty warrior, one of the greatest men in my estimation who ever lived. So I think of David, first of all, I think of his bravery, how brave he was. You remember the Bible records those stories of how he killed a lion and a bear, and then as a little lad, he went out after Goliath and killed Goliath. We all know those stories. We love David's bravery. Then we think of his talent. What a king. I'm telling you that David was a man among men and a man above most every other man. An incredible individual. And yet David fell into deep, dark, hateful, heinous sin. And this chapter tells about it. You know, when God paints a verbal portrait of a man, he doesn't hide the blemishes, the scars. And here's a scar on the life of this man, David. Listen to it. Verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But now watch this, but. And in my Bible, I have the word but underlined. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, David did not go to war. He was a warrior king. It was a time when kings went to war. David was a king. But he tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." David committed the sin of adultery. The woman conceived, and now David is in perplexity. Now you say, "Pastor, what does that have to do with me?" Well, I want to say that every one of us need to take warning from this message, because none of us is a better man than David was. None more noble, none more gifted, none more humble than David. And yet David fell into sin. Now there are four things I want you to see with me today as we look into this. First of all, I want you to see what I'm going to call the tragic cause of David's sin. How could a man like this fall into sin? I mean, a good man like this. Let me tell you what his sin was. First of all, it was the sin of idleness. The sin of idleness. Look in verses 1 and 2 again. The Bible says here that it was the time when kings went to war, but David is there in Jerusalem. Now, the Bible says the harvest was over, and now the battle has begun. And there are two fields that every one of us need to stay in. One is the harvest field and the other is the battlefield. If you're a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, God never intends for you to ever get out of the harvest field or the battlefield. But here's the problem. David is not doing something wrong at this particular time, except that he's failing to do something right. David's sin here is the sin of omission. It is the sin of idleness. The Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every sin ultimately is a sin of omission. Every sin. Because if you're doing what you ought to do, you cannot be doing what you ought not to do. Is that not true? And so David should have been with his compatriots in war, but he was not. What was he doing? He was in bed. When was he in bed? Now listen to this. When was he in bed? In the afternoon. The Bible says that in the eventide, when the sun is setting, David rises from the bed. He is in bed, lolling around. And now he gets up to go walk out and look on the roof of his house. Now there is a time for a legitimate rest. But you're not supposed to stay in the sack all day long. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Don't you be sitting around the house all day long watching television. If you have nothing else to do, get out and rake the yard. You men who don't have a job to do, you say, "Well, I don't have work." Well, let me tell you what to do. You go serve somebody even if you don't get paid. You men who are retired, you say, "Well, I worked hard now. Now I'm not going to work anymore." You, sir, are headed for trouble. If you're retired, that means you've got more time to serve God. Isn't that right? You're not supposed to be sitting around like a dullard doing nothing. You're going to get in trouble. God wants you to be occupied. The Lord Jesus said, "We are to occupy till he comes." Where was his sin? Number one, it was a sin of idleness. Number two, it was a sin of carelessness. Now, David was a warrior king, but now he has taken off his armor. But what does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why had David taken off his armor? There was a battle going on. But now David had had so many victories, he now begins to take victory for granted. He just presumes that God is going to keep on blessing. I'm talking to some of you. You've been mighty warriors for the Lord, but now you're getting careless. You think that you are so strong, don't you? You think that you cannot fall, don't you? You think that you cannot fail. Isn't that right? Let me tell you where David fell. David did not fall because he was weak. David fell because he was strong. David fell not at the point of his weakness, but at the point of his strength. Where was David's strength? It was his integrity. He said in the Psalms, I have walked in mine integrity. If there were ever a man that had integrity, it was David, and yet David fell at the point of his integrity, and I'll tell you why he fell at the point of his integrity. Because he got careless. He was idle, and then he was careless. Now come up close, I want to tell you something. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. If you'll study the great men of God and find out if they failed and where they failed at their point of strength, not weakness. What was Simon Peter's greatest strength? His courage. When he said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison and to death. He was the one who pulled out a sword and went after that man in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? I tell you, you wouldn't want to get in a fist fight with Peter. He was tough, the big fisherman. And yet, where did he fail? At the point of his courage, a little girl caused him to curse and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, here's a man who failed because of his carelessness. That's the reason the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Don't get idle. Don't get careless. I'll tell you what else it was. Not only was it a sin of idleness, and not only was it a sin of carelessness, it was a sin of impulsiveness. He had not planned to sin that day. He had no idea he would have done such a thing when he woke up. I mean, it was not in his plans. He had not been scheming. He had not been planning. He's walking on his rooftop. He looks over there, and there she is. There she is. And the Bible says he saw her, and that fire of lust began to burn in him. This was his impulsivity, his impulsiveness that caused him to sin. Hey, he had no idea he would have done such a thing. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you what sin is. Sin is a combination of three things so many times. It is an undetected weakness, an unexpected opportunity, compounded by an unprotected life. That's the reason that you must keep your heart, protect your life. You do not know what is latent in your old flesh. You say, well, I've been saved a long time. My flesh has improved. Your flesh has not improved one scintilla of an iota. That which is flesh is flesh. And that's the reason that you must do as the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do when we pray every day. Say, dear God, lead us, lest we fall into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And you bring the mantle of God's protection over your life because there is an undetected weakness, an unexpected opportunity, an unprotected life, and you may go down. If you'd ask David, David, would you ever do this? He would say, no way. But he did. It was an impulsive sin. He had begun to coast. His heart had gotten cold. He didn't even realize how cold his heart was. We say when somebody sometimes does a terrible thing like this, look how far they fell. The problem is we don't know how low they were living. Outwardly, everything looked fine. I'll tell you what else it was. It became a sin of callousness. You're going to find out that when David discovered that Bathsheba was pregnant, he tried to cover the thing up. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll bring her husband home from the battlefield. They'll spend the night together, and then he'll think that's his child. Well, he brought Uriah home from the battlefield, but Uriah loved David so much, and he was so loyal to his soldiers on the battlefield, he said, I can't be here having romance with my wife when my fellow soldiers out there on the battlefield. So rather than going home, he just slept outside David's door just to protect David, his king. David realized then that the plan wasn't going to work. And so he said, I've got to do something to get rid of Uriah. because Uriah is going to know this is not his child. So David calls the commander-in-chief of his army, Joab, and he says, take Uriah and put him out there in the battle, right in the forefront of the battle. And then when he gets out there in the forefront of the battle, withdraw all of the troops, and that man will be out there, and he'll be killed, and we can tell everybody he was killed in battle. It was a diabolical plan hatched in hell. How could David do something like that? Here, Uriah is David's friend, and now he's going to die by David's hand. David's sin with Bathsheba was a hot-blooded sin. He saw her, and the lust began to burn. But David's sin with Uriah, listen to me, was a cold-blooded sin. He planned it. He connived it. It was one of the dirtiest deeds ever done. Uriah the Hittite, who would have died for David's honor, now dies from David's hand. Could David be doing this? I mean, is this David? Is this the one who wrote the Psalms? Do you know the verse that comes to my mind right now? I'll tell you what it is. Beware, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Here was a man whose heart now becomes hard. Idleness, carelessness, impulsiveness, callousness, and now stubbornness. Stubbornness. God had spoken to David. David was under great conviction. But David went one whole year without repenting and getting right with God. How stubborn was David? And some of you in the place right now, you are not only cold, you've rationalized this thing. You're stonewalling God. You're thinking somehow you're going to make it work. Somehow God's going to forget about it. Somehow you think the statute of limitations is going to run out. Somehow you think you're just going to muddle through and gloss over the thing. And you stubbornly go on day after day after day after day, thinking maybe God has forgotten. You know what happened? David continued to be the king. He continued to wear that smile and put on that front. That was the sin, the cause of David's sin. Now I want you to notice the second thing. I want you to notice not only the tragic cause of it, but I want you to notice the tremendous cost of it. In chapter 11, look in verse 27, if you will. The last words in this chapter, the last part of the verse, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, David knew it displeased him. I want you to put a bookmark there and turn to Psalm 38. Look in verses 1 and 2. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. Now, what happens when a child of God sins? We'll go back up to verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. The very first things are words of rebuke. God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you. God will rebuke you when you sin. God will put his finger on the sore spot and say, that was wrong. Now listen, if you're living in sin, high, wide, and handsome, it may be the sin of adultery, it may be some other kind of sin, and God does not rebuke you, there is no conviction, I wouldn't give half a hallelujah for your hope of heaven. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, God will rebuke you. There were words of rebuke, And then secondly, there were arrows of conviction. Look, if you will, in verse 2, "For thine arrows stick fast in me." God pierced his heart. God said, "David, what you've done is wrong. It is horribly wrong." And then notice also he says, "In thy hand presseth me sore." Words of rebuke, arrows of conviction, the hand of pressure. Sometimes people have the idea, oh, well, if we sin, God just tosses us away. You've got it 180 degrees wrong. God doesn't toss you away if you're a child of his. When you sin, God puts his hand on you and squeezes. He says, your hand was heavy upon me. In Psalm 51, he spoke of his bones being broken. He's a poet. He's speaking poetically. He's saying, God, you're crushing me. God, you're squeezing life out of me. Do you know that kind of pressure? If you're living in sin and know that kind of pressure, you better thank God for it. If God has words of rebuke, if God has arrows of conviction, if God has a hand of pressure on you, say, thank God, he loves me too much to let me go on this way. He's under conviction.
A pretty serious message today on this Family Talk broadcast with our guest, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers. Dr. Dobson, it's not too often these days that we hear someone speak so boldly and so bluntly about this issue of sin.
Luann, this is a powerful message. It should resonate with all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just a few of us. All have sinned. And that's why this message hits everybody at one point or another. And I'm sure because of time, but Dr. Rogers did not tell the entire story. Some of it is in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel. And I'm going to read just a little bit of it here because of what happened after David did this horrible thing and killed Uriah the Hittite and took his wife as his own. And then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Now, Nathan was a prophet. And when he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children, and it shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' And then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" Man, have you ever had the Lord say that to you?
My goodness.
"You are the man. You did this."
Guilty.
And then in the King James Version, it says, "Thou hast given great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Because they saw what you did, they will also blaspheme." What a powerful message. I wish we had time to talk about it further. We don't, but we're going to hear the second half of Dr. Rogers' message next time.
Dad, I can't help but think of the person listening now who is wondering why they're not feeling any rebuke from the Holy Spirit despite the way that they're living.
You know, Ryan, when you walk into his presence, the conviction will be there. If you ignore him, if you don't read his word, if you go your own way, you're not aware of that conviction. I love the scripture in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And a few verses farther on, he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, mm-hmm. and I live among a people of unclean lips." You walk into his presence, mm-hmm. and he will make you know what he's trying to say to you, and conviction will follow. And sometimes he will say, "Thou art the man."
And if anyone listening right now isn't sure if you have a relationship with Christ, we would love to talk to you. Our lines are always open. Give us a call. We would love to pray with you and talk to you. Our number is 877-732-6825.
Or, of course, you can go to familytalk.org if you prefer. We have information there as well. You can also find a book by our guest today, Dr. Adrian Rogers. It's called The Passion of Christ and the Purpose of Life.
One last time, you can find that at familytalk.org or when you call. Again, our number is 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for being with us today, and don't miss the conclusion of Dr. Adrian Rogers' message tomorrow on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.